Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tea with Crema. My name is Chris. I'll be your host today, and I'm joined by my best friend, Emma.
What's up, everyone? What's up, party people?
That was probably going to be one of the first times I messed up the introduction. It was really close. I don't know if you could tell.
I did not catch it, so.
There was half a moment where I was like, I'm going to be here, but I don't know what I'm going to do here.
I
was like,
I don't know who I am. Who am I? What am I?
What an existential crisis. But you know what? That really lends itself into today's topic, which is...
Brought to you by...
Journaling! If you're ever wondering, like, oh, how can I think about myself and really reflect on who am I as a person? Where am I going? How am I feeling? Journaling. Or at least that's the theory. We're going to find out today, just because that's something that I've considered pursuing in the year 2024. But I did it because I don't know how to do it. And the only attempts that I've had in the past are not good. So we'll kind of cover, actually, I guess that's not 100% true. But anyways, we'll cover my history with journaling, Emma's history with journaling, and if this is actually something that I'm going to pursue, or if it was just one of those like wild ideas that I had one time that was cute for the moment and not really practical. So before we begin, Emma, what tea did you bring to today?
Today, I brought a Lupicia ginger tea. So it's an orange and ginger tea. Yeah, I'm definitely going to say that it's my sense of taste because I can't taste anything and it's not tasting like tea. So similar to the last time where I did actually taste it after like it got down to like the bottom part. So I'm hoping that that happens again right now. But yeah, sense of taste and smell still not fully back yet. So there's that. What are you drinking today?
Today I have a Dreamland Tea by Conjure Tea. And I might have set myself up for failure today because why am I drinking a sleepy tea? Going into an episode.
Chris is going to be asleep by the end of the episode and you'll just hear me close it out, laugh with myself and have the whole thing and end the episode. So it'll also tell you if I'm boring or not while we're doing this episode if Chris falls asleep.
This is definitely one of those sleep teas that has, it's a very similar ingredient. If you've ever seen one sleep tea, you've probably seen them all. Lavender, vanilla, chamomile, cornflower, valerian root. Most of those I've all seen. The only one that I think is unique to this one is cornflower.
I was about to say. But
valerian root, chamomile, vanilla, lavender, those are all common sleep flavors, so...
I wonder if the cornflower... No, this is just a wondering. I'm wondering if it's, like, because it kind of... To me, cornflower makes things thick, right? So, like, it's like when a baby is being fussy, you give them oatmeal because, you know, it makes them full. So I wonder if that's part of it.
Yeah, interesting. All right. So the purpose of today's episode is because I've been playing around with the idea of journaling since around... December or so of 2023. And I think part of it started as I was really considering dream journaling is that what it's called when you wake up and write your dreams. Mm-hmm. I then realized that I don't want to wake up and write anything. So that idea died pretty quickly. But
that was not your path.
That was not it. Just the thought of waking up and writing down my dreams. I was like, nah, I'm good, bro. You can keep it. It's cool. I just won't ever know what my dreams are. But hilarious. I did consider, okay, what are some other forms of journaling? Just because I think in no small part, I kind of miss writing, both creatively and for a purpose. You know, in college, you used to have to write all the time, write papers, write all sorts of responses and things of that nature. I know at one point we were even writing journals, almost journal entries for our experiences teaching. So, mm-hmm. You know, I kind of miss having those like reflective moments. And I think I just was wanting to try something else that was a little bit reflective. Like meditating is cool and all, but I haven't been doing it as much just because, you know, sometimes you just get bored with doing stuff and you're just like, okay, thanks. Next. So journaling was the thing that I was considering because I know typically you kind of said good things about journaling.
Yeah.
Historically, I have not said good things about journaling. In fact, the last time I had a physical journal, I thought someone was going to read it. So I lit it on fire so that no one would ever read it, including future me. So I don't know anything about past me because past me burnt pastor me's everything. So I don't really have much in the way of experience of journaling. I did have a blog for like the first year of teaching, which was
I loved it. That was so fun.
An adventure.
It was so cute.
It was fun. It really was fun. And I think in hindsight, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is I did a journal. It was cool. It's still there if you really want to read it. QueersintheClassroom.blogspot. If you want to check it out and see if it still exists, let me know. I didn't delete it, so...
Was the classroom with a K, too? No, right? It was still...
Nah, it was with a C. I don't like misspelling things wrong.
It's very stressful. I think that was one of our conversations, too. I was like, oh my god, you should make it with a K, and you're like, that's stupid. And I was like, okay, well, you know, whatever.
That's my last experience, I would say.
Actively?
Yeah, with actually... doing anything even similar to journaling. Now, granted, that was online, so it, you know, it wasn't really, I guess it wasn't not journaling. It was also about a very specific topic.
Right.
And so, you know, it is what it is. It happened. I have mostly no regrets about it. And so now I'm just kind of like exploring. I don't think this journaling that I'm looking for would be a public blog type journal. Mm-hmm. So I'm just seeing... The main purpose would be to kind of start with exploring your experiences with journaling, and that'll probably jog my memory with some journaling techniques that I have tried since blogging or no longer blogging, and then we'll kind of see if like any of these open doorways into some future projects for me to work at.
I love it.
So I'll start with some journaling that I have tried.
Yes. How about we start from there? You're going to see how much of like a, like I went through some journeys getting to where I currently am now and finding what works for me. So yeah, let's start with what have you done to journal, or like how, what have you used? Maybe that's the better question.
So I used a feelings journal, which was just like a book of word feelings. And you were supposed to pick words that match what you were feeling for that day. Then I was like, well, this is stupid. What if I'm feeling frustrated twice, but I've already used the frustrated page? Looking at you specifically, frustrated. And then there were some words that I was like, I don't even know what this word means, and I don't think I've ever felt this way in my life. So it just very quickly, after like two or three entries, I was like, no, this is not my favorite experience. I didn't really like it at all. And so I stopped with the feelings journal, and then I've tried gratitude journaling. It was so annoying. I was just like, three things I'm thankful for. Three things. Just like, I can't. This is dumb. Like, I just, it's not for me. It wasn't in the, maybe I just wasn't in the right headspace. But like, after like 4 days in a row of writing like dumb stuff, I was like, nah, I'm not good at this. We can do something else. I think I got like a, yep, got a cute little gratitude journal from Michaels and did like four entries on it and was like, this is stupid. And didn't do it anymore.
Things I'm not grateful for, spent wasting money on things I will not use.
Literally. It's literally like, today I'm grateful for, today I feel, what I'm loving at this moment, final thoughts, what could have been better, best part of my day. I think what I really didn't like about this is that I didn't really feel like it let me be authentic. Like, it's just always, I get positive framing, but I'm also someone who likes to feel and express my negativity because then I don't linger on it. And that journal just felt like it was like trying to make everything super positive all the time. It was really frustrating.
Toxic positivity, some may say.
And then the other one that I tried, I felt really bad for this one because I think this journal is a gift and I think that they are expensive, but it's a passion planner.
You mean the gift for me?
Yeah, I tried really hard because I know it was expensive.
You know what? That's okay. Like, I'm glad that you tried it, because I will say that one thing about you, though. You try it and then you realize like, okay, I hate this. Like, this is not for me. So I think like what's going to be really interesting as we go through this conversation that we're about to have is that, you know, like that's the whole point, is figuring out what works best for you. So what didn't you like about the passion planner?
It was too much. It was on the other side of... I think the feelings journal was not enough. Like, it was just like one feeling, go. And I'm like, that's weird. And then, cause I did like, literally I did like the roadmap that you're supposed to do at the beginning of the passion planner. I did all of the, I kept up with the first few months and then tried to do like the reflections and everything. But I think I just got overwhelmed, probably would be the best way to explain what happened with the passion planner, because it's a lot of pages.
It was almost too much.
Yeah, and I was just like, it was overwhelming. And then I can't remember the exact year that I was trying it out, but I think it was also when I was transitioning, learn new role and responsibilities. I really think that I was switching jobs and I was trying, like, it just felt like it was one of those, like, it was too many new things all at once.
Right.
And I couldn't quite figure out, like, am I tracking stuff on paper? Am I tracking stuff on the computer? Like, what is my tracking system? And, like, how do I make all the things talk to each other? And so I think for the passion planner, it was trying to do too many things at once.
Right.
It was trying to be a journal and also a planner. And I felt overwhelmed and couldn't keep up with it. And so for me, the passion planner wasn't very good. The gratitude journal was false positivity. The feelings journal just wasn't enough structure. And then I recently have just been, I was doing like a little fitness journal, just like writing random like fitness milestones that I was accomplishing. And I was like, this is cute. And then I stopped doing that after like 2 months because it just was about fitness. And I was like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. And you could also be someone that just like, maybe in that moment, like it doesn't also have to look like, you know, a physical journal. It could be something that's in your notes app. It could be elsewhere, you know, like somewhere that's just like encrypted enough just for you. I think that's probably where we'll figure out what fits best. Cause I think I can feel pretty similar in the way that like I've gone through many different types of journaling as well. And like the hardest part for me was always finding what worked for me. Right. So I remember, and I think a lot of the time, especially with journaling, and again, I don't know if it's a Mormon thing. It might be a Mormon thing, low-key. But Mormon people love having archives of their lives and, like, generational archives of their lives. And I don't want to say, like, good and bad Mormon families, but a lot of Mormon families with really rich histories tell their stories through journals, right? Like, ancestral journals, and, like, those are passed on. So I feel like that was a really big part of being in the Mormon faith and, like, reflecting on, you know, your journey with God and, like, your journey through adulthood. So maybe my sister could talk a little bit more about it, too. But she was, like, an active journaler. And if there's anything about me, it's, like, I always wanted to be like my sister. Was, like, everything that she did, I always wanted to do, too. And also, like, I was low-key nosy. So, like, I was definitely that little sister that would, like, read the journal and, like, have no sense of privacy whatsoever. Which is why I think as an adult, or, like, as I was becoming, like, a teenager, I did not keep a journal because I knew what it was like to like invade someone's privacy. And I didn't want that to happen to me again. You know, like there's 7 years between us, half the things that she was writing, I was like, this is boring. Like, I don't care about your school day, but like to her, it was a very big deal. Right. So I think that part of that is like why I've always wanted to like reflect, because I've loved being able to read, like when people talk about like their ancestors and like their, you know, like, oh, you know, like this was like such a struggle for them. And like, I think it just like, I think that's one of like a cool thing to pass on too, is like thinking about, you know, when you have kids and like things that were like cool, like not cool, but like things that were happening at that time and like being really honest in those feelings. So I do like keeping it. I've been in one journal now for, and it's going to be terrible, like almost, yeah. So for four years, because like I would start and stop. And so I've been in one journal for 4 years and I finally have moved out of it and started a new journal this year, partially because I was like, you know what, new fresh start. This is like me starting going through a journal. But I went through so many different types of like journaling types. So like I would watch content after content after content of like, what kind of journal do I want? Like those YouTube videos, like that used to be all I would watch, is like the different types of journaling and like setting up their monthly planners and things like that. So I had all of the accessories and all of the markers and all of the like the things that you were supposed to use, and then would get frustrated when it wouldn't look like as aesthetic as the like YouTube video. But again, it's like, it's a YouTube video for a reason, right? Like someone makes their living to make this content. Like my thing is not going to look like that. And it wasn't until probably maybe a year or two ago that I just realized, like, I think actually like I'm more of a minimalist planner. Like, and that's just like what works for me. And I think Kid has also talked about her Hobonichi as well. So there's this thing called Hobonichi Techo. It's a planner notebook. So this is one that people kind of use for both planning and being a journal. And it's supposed to be kind of just like versatile, and it's supposed to let you choose, like it's supposed to like let you choose your own adventure. So you use it however you feel. The one thing that I didn't really like about a Hobonichi is that the paper is really thin, and it was super expensive to ship it from Japan to the US, because I think Japan is the only place that manufactures it. And it's super thick because it's a daily thing. So I think you need like 2 or 3 volumes per year to make for the full year. So that was like, that was a no for me. And also it was just like, it was
volumes,
just, right? Because it's daily. So it's like, you know, 365 days in one book. So that was like not, I was not about that life. I really liked watching the content on it, but after I moved to Japan, I was like, oh, let me like try and get into the Hobonichi life. And went and saw one in person, I was like, no, I'm not, still not about that life. Like maybe one day, but not today. So then an alternative to the Hobonichi was the Midori travel journals, which I think it's been around for a while. And it's just a travel journal. The main components of it is like an outside cover, and it's normally like a leather cover, and it has an elastic on it. And on the inside, you insert different books into it. So like these different books have different purposes. So some of them are like solely for your photos. Some of them are just like solely to write in. Some of them are just like made out of sticker paper. So you're able to like stick your stickers into it and then also take it off. Like it's an adhesive paper. It's interesting. But they have these like different types of inserts into them. So then I got into that. But at that time, in Texas, it was just starting to become popular. So Michaels was just starting to like have the inserts and everything like that. I think now it has, they probably have a better collection. So like that was really difficult to find. So I was like, you know what? That's not going to work for me. Then I heard about passion planners from Now, because someone in her grad school class had bought, I think they like got like a wholesale deal. So all of them ended up getting one in her final year of grad school. So I was like, let me try that one out. And that was really good as like a work planner, but I wanted something that I could reflect in day after day, which is then, eventually we're going to get there, where I got to bullet journaling. And that's like kind of where I've left and like lived and left and, you know, kind of been playing around with a lot is like through bullet journaling. So that's kind of where we're at now, but I would not even consider myself like a true bullet journaler. More than I would consider myself, like, I think I've gotten back to my roots of just like, just journaling, just talking about my day, just reflecting on everything that's happened. I think bullet journaling is a great tool. It's very aesthetic. Again, like they have different trackers in there, which I really enjoy. It's like, I used to be about that tracker life. Like I would track my feelings. I would track my water intake. I would track my sleep intake. And that data is really cool, but you have to stick with it every day, which I think is something that was not feasible for me. So after I said all of that,
what do you write about now?
Now, like, I think when I am writing, and again, it's not happening every day. When I am writing, it's mostly like just to just like reflect on the day. Because I think because my day happens so quickly, I don't even get the time to like in the moment, just like feel the feelings. And I think there's been a lot of big feelings that I've been having. I also just started therapy. So, you know, that's like me doing my thing. So, you know, there's been some like prompts that my like therapist has told me, like, you know, I think at the end of the day, you really need to think about this. And like, you know, this is your homework for the week, because she knows I love homework. So she'll give me like pieces of advice that I need to think about for the week. And kind of just like, that's what's been grounding a lot of my reflections, is like, because I know going into my next session, that will be a question of like, okay, so like, what did you work on this week? So that's been helpful as well. Some of those questions have been like based around, I'm about to give y'all some free therapy for a second. There was like a moment where she was like, I think that you're putting a lot of emotion into things that are like out of your control. And like, what is in your control and what is not in your control? So she like had me like journal, like, what are things that are actually in my control versus what are things that are not in my control? And like, am I able to see the difference between the two? And at the beginning, like, I definitely wasn't. I was like, all of this is in my control. She's like, actually, like, half the things you wrote down are not in your control. And then it was like, okay, so like, what do you need to be happy? So like, every day she wanted me to journal down like something that I did to like make myself personally happy. And like, that had nothing to do with work. So like, that was a big one for me, because your girl realized that there's a lot of things that I do that are actually not making me happy. And then my last one was just basically on, oh, this one was more on a workspace though. Like I learned more about like the, I think it's called the Eisenhower priority list. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Like the quadrants, basically it's like important and urgent goes in one corner, urgent and not important in another corner, not urgent, not important in another quadrant, and then not urgent but important in the other quadrant. And so it's basically like prioritizing as things are popping up through the day, putting them in the correct quadrant, because not everything can take up all of your energy every single second of the day, which is like a lesson that I've been learning a lot throughout this year, of like, just because it's a fire doesn't mean the fire needs to be put out now.
I've never heard it called that, and I've seen it, I think people do it differently. Yes, the Eisenhower matrix, the Eisenhower task matrix. And I think people's verbiage depending on the context. And so now that I'm seeing some of these versions, I'm like, oh, I have seen some of these for sure. in terms of, yes, important versus non-important, urgent versus non-urgent, and then the different verbs that people have that go with it, kind of thing.
Right. I don't know if I would journal that necessarily. I think what bullet journaling was created to do was it was created to become like a task manager as well as like a method of you reflecting on that task. So like there's a whole set of like system that I think it was created by, oh, I forgot what his name is, but basically like the creator of bullet journaling has a very specific way of how you write down your tasks and like what you do to like notate if it's been completed. And then, so it's like you write it in a box and then you put your task next to it. You put an arrow in that box if it's getting migrated to the following day, like you just didn't get to it. Put a check mark if it's completed, or you just cross it out completely if it's like not no longer important or pertinent. So I think in terms of like a bullet journal, like I think an Eisenhower matrix would work in that context. But what I realized is that I didn't want something where like I would look back 5 years from now and see my to-do list. I wanted something where I could like look back 5 years from now and see what I was feeling. I think from a tasks perspective, like I feel like I got that system down. But from a like reflective perspective, that's kind of where I've been moving into. So like there was a time when I would do like a highlight and a low light of the day. And then there was times when I would just like, I would do like a tracker. So like I would have like a mood tracker. So like depending on how I felt during that day is like what I would color in the little piece. And then I would talk about it, or I would put it in my, like as I was writing about it, I would draw like the graphic and then color it in with like what my feelings were for that day. I would set goals at the beginning of every month, which I felt like was very helpful. And then, you know, I would put, like, I was definitely journaling a lot when I was in quarantine. When I first got to Japan, there was a lot of feelings that I had about leaving.
And lots of time to think about them.
Yeah, and a lot of time to think about it. And, like, I journaled actually quite a bit through the pandemic. So, like, even that, like, going back through it, like, I would just talk about my feelings and, like, what was going on. So, I think I have moved towards being someone who uses it when it's useful for me. Because I don't know if, like, you know, 10 years from now, do I want to know about, like, went to this great restaurant? Or, you know, maybe that would be something interesting. I don't know. I guess what's the most important thing that I've learned is, like, you use journaling for what's necessary for you in that moment. So, like, you can grow out of things too, right? So if, like, gratitude is something you're looking for, then, like, you journal for gratitude. If you find that you're missing that gap of, like, journaling for, I don't know.
I think that's what the thing that I'm looking for right now. I want to be able to respond to, like, a prompt. Because I think if you look at, or if you've ever watched the movie Avatar,
right,
when Jake Sully is trying to use the little video log for the first time, and he's just like, what do I say to this thing? That's kind of like my brain when I'm looking at an empty page for journaling. I'm just sitting there like, what do I write in this thing? Because I don't have a, not coming from a place where journaling was a norm or something that occurred regularly, I don't necessarily have the innate practice down in terms of having some base questions that you're answering and right, going from there. A lot of times it's literally just like, cool, I have a pen, I got some paper that's bound in this little thing, so what do I do now?
I think what's interesting too is because, like, I think for you, because you mentioned it multiple times before of like, you just miss writing, right? Like in an academic sense, in a whatever the sense is, it's just like that practice of writing was very helpful for you. So it feels like, yeah, prompts would be helpful because it's giving you that objective and it's giving you that topic and you're able to kind of practice again, like what is it to write in whatever context, right? Like writing for a long period of time or writing for whatever. So I think that that would be really interesting for you to continue practicing is kind of like those prompts.
Almost like creative writing prompts, but like right, not like fiction. I don't like writing fiction.
But just like questions, right? Like questions that are deep enough to like have to respond in a couple of paragraphs or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Some cute, thoughtful questions. So
like 5 minutes.
That's what I'm going to be trying to find. Almost like a little 5 minute prompt. Like just bleh, just writing for 5 minutes. Not necessarily as, again, I think the more you practice with something, the better you get at certain things anyway. So I think not necessarily writing for good grammar or word choice or things of that nature and not even really having other people read it for at all, but to just get into it. So yeah, I think right now it's just a matter of like finding a size journal that kind of represents what I would want, like the how much I would want to write in that time period, and then finding consistent prompts.
Oh man, and then you gotta find like paper weight. We got to like get into that conversation. Like, what's the kind of paper you want? You know, lined versus dot versus square. I think you said you don't like dot.
I don't like dot, and I don't like squares, and I don't like blank.
So you like lines.
I love lines.
What type of weight of paper do you like?
What does it even mean?
Like, there's like a type of like, you know, like when you're like writing in a notebook and it's like not, like the paper is too slippery.
Oh.
Like the paper is slippery, so that it like. Classic
paper.
Do you like it like thicker or lighter?
I think a paper, like an average paper that really holds the ink. What I don't like is like smudgy paper.
Yeah.
Paper that doesn't hold the ink very well. And then now you've smudged everywhere. You've got ink on your hand. There's ink all over the page.
What am I, Thomas Jefferson? Just kidding.
What in the inkwell is this?
Oh, so you like, do you like the tool paper? Like that weight of paper?
Yeah. I mean, tool's fine. It's just the issue with tool paper is that I feel like, I love tool, don't get me wrong, but I feel like tool only works with tool sometimes. And I'm just like.
They've really perfected their system of like only using
very self-contained.
Products. Right. Yeah. So I think you like a heavier weight paper then. That's probably what it is. And then probably more matte. Sorry. I feel like that was kind of the purpose of our episode was to go into like what's the different types of paper you could get into. And I ended up talking about different types of journaling instead. My bad.
No, I don't like, I feel like the mechanics of finding a physical journal is not my issue. That I have options right now. I have journals for days. It's what am I putting in these things that I'm struggling with the most?
I just realized I use like a scrapbook. I also put like ticket stubs of things that I've gone to.
See, that makes sense because I save a lot of stuff. So I could imagine doing that. Right. But I think that would be a different journal. That would be a blank page journal.
Oh, I see.
Like a scrapbook, essentially.
I can see
so that. So I think the biggest thing right now is prompts. I got to find prompts. What prompts get me to think without feeling like a big old cheese ball?
That's okay to sometimes be a big old cheese ball, too.
I just like, well, I mean, yes, sometimes. But like, again, the reason I didn't like the gratitude journal, because it just was always like that feeling. Right. What went well today? What are you grateful for? I'm just like, oh my God, shut up. Me talking to a journal. Like, what? But I think if I can find a consistent set of prompts, probably, I think that'll be the game changer for me.
I agree.
Because I have the ability to write. I've done it before. I just need something stimulating.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Like, you're not using it to reflect. You're using it to stimulate your brain.
I'm not using it to reflect in the way that, like, I'm writing about my feelings necessarily.
Right.
Or like, and that's okay. Today was a good day. I think it's more of like, I don't know. I'll find the prompts when I find the prompts. I think right now, I don't even know where to search for prompts.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, I'm trying my best, but I'm excited. I think eventually I will have a journal and it will be full of thoughts. And then if anyone ever tries to read it, I'll throw it in the barbecue pit and be like, oh no, it fell.
It no longer
exists. Guess we can't read it. Crazy. Because that definitely happened to my high school journals. Because I was the older sibling, and I was like, nah, y'all not invading my privacy.
Y'all not getting into this.
Y'all got me confused out here. And so one day before I went to college, I just like snuck all my journals into the barbecue pit and lit them on fire. It probably wasn't the safest thing to do.
Probably not.
Yeah. But my siblings liked fire, so I don't think they were too upset about it. They're like, oh my God, we're lighting stuff on fire. Okay. So, no, this isn't everybody. Okay. So yeah, it happened. We'll see. Well, any other final thoughts on journaling that you want to share before we wrap it up?
Everyone should journal, reflect, even if it's just to talk about whatever.
Your gratitude.
Find your way. Yeah, talk about something. Just write it down. Your ancestors will thank you.
I don't know if it's your ancestors. Your descendants will thank you.
Your descendants. You are the ancestor. Your descendants will thank you for it. Or will they? I don't know.
So, Emma, it's time for our...
rapid fire question!
What'd you bring today?
I brought a fun question, so you're gonna have to listen really carefully, okay? Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Not the horse-sized duck or duck-sized horses. I think it would be the duck-sized horses.
Interesting.
I don't know. Something about, birds are just weird and aggressive and dumb.
Can you imagine a horse-sized one?
Yeah, I just don't want that problem. Whereas, like, the little tiny things, much easier.
Right. You can outrun. I feel like you can outrun 100 duck-sized horses, but like one duck-sized horse is, or one horse-sized duck would be kind of unpredictable. And also if it can still fly, yeah, I don't know. I'm dying. That's a challenge slash battle I'm not trying to get into.
Not even. It wouldn't even win. I don't even know. That would not work. Okay. My question today is, what is a store that you like going to because it brings you joy?
Oh my God, I love this question. If I'm in the US, obvi, Target. I just like to walk up and down the aisles. In Japan, I don't really have a store that just brings me joy. Maybe it's called The Loft. It's a stationery store. I like to go into it and walk up and down the aisles. Actually, no, that's not true. In Japan, I really like going to the store. It's really bad for my wallet, though. It's super expensive. It's called Montbel. It's a camping store. I just like seeing like the little gadgets that they bring out every month. And I'm a member.
Like, you've really gotten into this outdoor thing.
I really have. It's a problem. What about you? What's a store that brings you joy?
A store that brings me joy is obviously HEB, Ride or Die.
Ride or Die.
I will make a trip out to go to an HEB. And then they're opening one in North Fort Worth that's going to be closer, easier to access one. So I am very excited. I was a little sad because, you know, it was a little like touch or go there for a minute. It was very much like will they, won't they kind of relationship. Oh. And I was very stressed. But I feel pretty confident that it's a will they moment now.
Yay!
And they are. So I'm very excited. But I would say, yeah, definitely HEB. It's never misses. I can't.
Never.
It just doesn't. It just doesn't.
Like, it's Texas owned. I like that they highlight Texas products as well. I think that's like such a cool thing as a branch that they kind of like, you know, obviously they have like all the regular things, but they really do highlight that Texas grown, you know, suppliers and
really help some mom and pop businesses like glow up for sure.
Yeah.
So definitely it's HEB. Even the stores themselves are like super localized for the community that shops there. And so you can't find every product at every HEB.
Yeah.
That's not how they function. They serve the community that they're in. So they bring them
those
most popular items. So nah, it's always HEB. Like it literally never misses. There have definitely been times where I've gone into Target and left kind of like, meh, it's okay. I've never like left an HEB and been like, meh, okay.
Right.
Every time I'm just like, oh, I got some chips. I got a drink.
I got chips that look like Texas.
You know, got some stars. You know, I just like all the time. It's always that way for Texas. So that's my store. And I'm sticking to it. Literally sticking to it. So Emma, where can people find the podcast?
You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to buy us some tea, because Sips Buy just stopped doing their tea subscription boxes. So if you'd like to buy us a cup of tea, you can also Venmo us at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to catch up on any of our past episodes, you can also stream it on your favorite streaming platforms. We hope to see you next time. Bye!